91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today we welcome songwriter Artie Resnick, co-author of classics Under the Boardwalk and Good Lovin', as he joins singer-songwriter and musician Dale Powers to talk about their new musical collaborations. Dan Hudak speaks with O Cinema's Kareem Tapsch and Matt Walter about their extensive cinematic offerings. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Lashinsky. Please stay with us to catch the conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, film critic Dan Hudak catches up with Kareem Tapsch and Matt Walter of O Cinema to find out about their upcoming events. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Lashinsky. Songwriters stoked the star-making machinery behind the popular song. To quote Joni Mitchell, songs become ingrained in our memories, evoking traces of the important events in our lives. It might be a smell, a touch, our first dance, our first kiss. In 1964, a hit by the Drifters, Under the Boardwalk, became a summer theme song for a generation. A few years later, in 1966, a number one hit for the Young Rascals, Good Lovin', gave many Americans rockin' musical memories. The co-composer of those classic pop tunes joins us today, Mr. Artie Resnick. He was nominated for induction into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2012 with the co-composer of those tunes, Mr. Kenny Young. He is still writing today with a great South Florida talent, Mr. Dale Powers. Dale, who is originally from Chicago, has been a fixture on the South Florida musical scene for decades with his Jump and Jive swing band. He is a throat cancer survivor and now has a Satchmo-like quality to his vocals. In fact, his most recent recording is a tribute to Louis Armstrong called Satch in the Lights. His current band has held down the gig at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel's Council Oak Lounge for the past 11 years, where he performs great pop, rock, and swing classics together with his original material with his band comprised of quite notable South Florida musicians. And we want to welcome to South Florida Arts Beat Artie and Dale. Gentlemen, it's an honor.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Great to be here.
Yes, indeed. Well, Artie, take me back to the early 60s when you and your co-author Kenny Young were composing the classic pop tune Under the Boardwalk. Tell me, what was going on for you both back in the early 60s?
Well, I met Kenny back then. I found him walking down the hall with a guitar over his back of the Brill Building.
Ooh, you're in the Brill Building.
Yeah. I wow. grabbed the whole of them. Bobby Darin had just bought a firm called TM Music. It was on the 9th floor of the Brill Building. And I brought him up. I said, let me see what you do. He played a couple of things. I liked what he did. We became friends, and we started writing together. And that's when Boardwalk came out a couple of years later. He actually gave me the title. I had nothing to do with that. Mm-hmm. And he asked me if I wanted to write it. And luckily, I said yes. And didn't take long before the song was written.
So let me ask you, you actually had that experience Under the Boardwalk where? In Jersey where?
No.
Keep it clear.
Everybody asked me that. I tried to sell Nathan's on an advertisement Under the Boardwalk.
Because I tell you, I did, probably because of that song. I mean, yeah. I grew up in Maryland, and we had a great boardwalk town in Ocean City. I mean, every state had an Ocean City. I think there's one in Jersey and whatnot. And you know, that song was in my mind, so it's emblazoned in my memory.
I don't want to disappoint you, but it's Coney Island.
Coney Island. All right. All right. Well, tell me, a few years later, Artie, you both penned another classic pop tune, Good Lovin', and how did that one come about?
That was Rudy Clark and me. I always needed a partner. I came into the music business. I had no idea what music was. I just wanted to write songs. I had a friend, Barry Mann, who became Barry Mann. You
great,
lost that
great songwriter.
Feeling. Yeah, he and Cynthia's wife, and we were friends for years.
She a great songwriter as well.
Cynthia, yeah. Well, I was sick of doing what I was doing, selling dresses in Ohio, and Barry came up to me.
At least you weren't wearing them.
Yeah, right. That's true. Anyway, Barry, I used to go up to, Alden Music in 1650 Broadway, and Barry be in these little cubicles at all the writers, Carol King, and Goffin, her husband, and just
Goffin.
Barry and Cynthia. He played me these songs. He played me on Broadway. He played me Uptown. He played me I Love How You Love Me. And I was just insane for what he was doing. I loved it so much. He was so excited about his work, and I hated what I was doing.
Yeah. So, well, what an incredibly creative environment the Brill Building must have been. Give me some feelings about that.
Well, we had Lieber and Stoller there, of course, Bobby used
incredible
to come in
producers.
From California.
They were great writers, too, though,
yeah,
Lieber and Stoller. Kansas City?
Kansas
Is
City.
That one of the Elvis, early
all
Elvis
the Elvis Presley. They were the best. I mean, but we're talking about Good Lovin', and it was a Good Lovin' record before I was called in to rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that existed was the chorus. And they were trying to get it recorded, and nobody would do it with the lyric that was on it. So I said, I was asked by Rudy to come in and rewrite it. And that took 20 minutes. I was finished. I was very happy because I loved the demo. And the rest is history there.
You got a book in you, Artie.
I have what?
You have a book in you. You need to write a book about that.
Oh,
the Brill
yeah.
Building.
You know,
I want to read it. I got to tell you.
I tell you how many times I started that. But
Dale, when did you meet Artie, and how did you both get together to start composing songs?
Well, you know, actually, Ed, you had a hand in that.
Uh-oh, don't blame it on me.
Right. That's how he got stuck with me. I was doing the Jump and Jive thing.
Yeah, great swing band.
You interviewed me on your show, and Artie was living in Hollywood at the time. And he happened to tune into the show, and... So who is this guy, you know, and got interested. And then a friend of ours, was it Jeff?
Yeah, Martin, yeah.
Okay, he said, Artie, you guys should get together. He said, yeah, I just heard him on this show. So we had an introduction.
Oh, that's great.
Artie had kind of retired from writing.
Wow.
Okay? Yes. So I had, and I'm going, oh, God, it's Artie Resnick. I'm scared to even go up to him, right? So we get an invitation to the house. We're going to go for dinner. I show up. With a pad, pens, a rhyming dictionary. He said, now, wait a minute. All I was doing was making cabbage rolls here. And I said, okay. I didn't want to scare him. So we had the cabbage rolls, which, by the way, Artie is a fabulous cook.
Wow.
And then we would write music after that. And I was playing the gig in Hollywood at O'Hara's, and he lived right down the street. So every Thursday night after that, I would come to his house. He would make a fabulous dinner, and we would write. Then I'd go to the gig.
Wow, what a wonderful story. Thanks for including me. tell me about your process, guys. Songwriting process amazes me. Does it come to you just out of a burst of lightning? Is a tune a result of a jam session, just playing music and you hear a nice melody, or is it something in between?
I think it's all of the above, you know. You just have to have a simpatico, a relationship with a person of trust. It develops, you know. I can't write with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I've written with four or five people, that's all. And two or three people I wrote with, we had hits. And Dale, I'm sure we're going to have a smash together.
Mm-hmm.
He's wonderful talent, and I was very lucky that he forced me to write.
To come out of retirement.
Well, you know, and I've got to say that Artie, he is like a fountain overflowing with ideas all the time. He has got so many. I need another lifetime to finish 90 albums. He's always calling me up. I got this great idea. And it is a great idea. You know, and he's got papers written down everywhere. Titles, I mean, all they need to be doing is developed. His mind works so fast that he doesn't complete them, but man, he spits them out. And then that's when I go, hold on, wait, that idea, let's back up, let's put this groove to it, and then we complete
it. That's when the going gets rough. Then I go for the other, hey, Dale, get me out of this trouble.
So you guys both keep journals? You wake up in the middle of the night, oh, I got a great line here.
It's just a relationship. It's a give and take. Mm-hmm. And if you think that you're the boss, then you don't have a relationship. But if you can respect your other writer and take his suggestions, which I always do, he always comes up with something great. And you know, between the two of us, we make our way through the song. And when it's finished, nobody could tell me that we didn't write it together. Or you wrote this, or I write that. That's nonsense. You write a song, because if I say and you say the, and it winds up the in the song, you're still a part of that song. And that's the way it is.
Quick question. Who's your favorite, Artie, songwriting duo?
Songwriting?
Just one.
Okay. Who Carol jumps and out? Jerry.
Okay. All right. Dale?
No, I'm a Lennon-McCartney fan.
Oh gosh. Who was it?
I forgot about
that. That's like asking who's my favorite girl. Now, this is not real easy here.
Of course, we all have many favorites. More info at dalepowers.com. We want to speak with Artie Resnick and Dale Powers in our second segment and find out a little bit about what they're up to these days. There's some videos out. There's some new tunes out. And we will rejoin Artie and Dale in just a moment here on South Florida Arts Beat. Please stay with us.
Sand in my shoes brings back memories of a summer's affair. Sand in my shoes. Oh, the blanket that we used to share. How we fell in love down by the sea. Hey, come back to me with the sand in my shoes.
Do it, Jesse.
All right, sand in my shoes, and our guest on South Florida Arts Beat, Artie Resnick and Dale Powers, and they're working on some new material these days. More info at dalepowers.com, of course. And Artie, how old is Sand in My Shoes? You wrote that back in the 60s as well?
Yes. A few months after Boardwalk cooled off, we got a call from Jerry Wexler at Atlantic Records to do a follow-up.
The big guy, Atlantic. Yeah.
If he said, well, if you want to get the follow-up, you have to write something that is just like Under the Boardwalk, but we want to milk it, was his words. So they get a couple of 100,000 more sales out of it. I was really upset about that because I wanted something else. But no, he insisted. So we wrote The Sand in My Shoes and as the follow-up for the close of the season. And it's really, and we bring it up to date now
with this
by
recording,
changing some of the lyrics, you know, make it more loving and everything. That you couldn't use some of the words that we...
like sand in my iPhone?
Yes, right.
But a nice update. And wow, guys, what a great tune for South Florida. I mean, whoa.
Right.
You really hit the nail on the head with that. So what are you guys working on nowadays? Artie, do you continue to rework some tunes you've written in the 60s? Or Dale, are you coming up with some all new material?
It's a little of each. Yeah. Go ahead.
I intend to look back at my old catalog and bring songs into relevance of today, because kids speak differently, their references are different, and what you could say back
then. You don't
then,
say.
You couldn't say anything like, making love. Anything to do with love was forget about the senses. And so now it's a little looser.
Yeah, it took till it took the late 60s to kind of loosen things up lyric wise and whatnot, and now all heck's busted loose. Hey, you all wrote a tune about Hollywood, Florida. Tell me about that, Dale.
Absolutely. When we were first writing, and it was one of Artie's brainstorms, let's write a song about Hollywood. Perfect. So that's what we did, and we're trying right now to sell it to the city or rent it to the city to have them use it as their, theme song.
Can you give me a little lyric?
Here's a tip the next time that you're Florida bound. Exit Hollywood, go east to the heart of town. Grab your lotion, hit the ocean, cruise down A1A. I'm talking Hollywood, Hollywood, FLA. Now I got spit on your mic.
Yeah, but that's genius spit. That's great. That's a wonderful tune.
You know, the mayor asked me when Giuliani.
Yeah.
She was running for office. So it was in the parking lot. She said, why don't you write a song for Hollywood? So I did. I have about four letters to her saying, I wrote the song, now put it out.
Well, we're hoping they'll pick it up, because after that, we're going to go for all the cities. They got one for Miami.
Well, we need them down here. We need some wonderful creativity in the tourist advertising business. Tell me about some of the other things you're working with. Have you recorded over the past couple of months?
Girl with the Rock and Roll Heart, that was inspired by Dale playing and a girl dancing on the young girl, I might add, dancing on the floor.
Ah, yes, I remember her well.
and it got my old heart beating faster, and it just boom, boom, boom came out.
Right, so there's true. There's the girl with a rock and roll heart. There's Hollywood. There's the new version of Good Lovin' that kind of went Miami.
Oh, it takes it to Calle Ocho.
Latin.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah, got a little clave in there and everything.
Exactly. It lent it right to it. It's like a seamless, and of course in Miami, you got to have a little of that.
Oh, yeah.
We did Ponce de Leon, which is a wonderful song, fantasy about youth and
a fountain of youth.
An elixir of youth. Ponce de Leon.
I think, where are you?
I think St. Augustine needs to hear that.
Right?
Yeah. Donde está? Donde está?
Well, actually, I'm thinking of a new idea that I haven't brought to you yet, Artie, but this song is going to be called I Hate I-95. And I think it's going to be a regional hit.
There have been a few about I-95.
Yes, the parking lot.
Stuck in the middle.
I hate I-95. I wish those cats on it would learn how to drive. I want a tip if you want to stay alive. Keep your ass off of I-95.
I don't have to do a thing.
You're giving away all of your brilliance there. You're giving away all the brilliance.
Now, how about
some videos, guys? You think about videos, too, because the music marketing world has changed. It's all online and, YouTube. How are you working with that,
Absolutely.
The new media?
Just yesterday, we shot some initial footage for the Hollywood FLA song, which we're going to continue. So absolutely, there's going to be some YouTube.
You got some shots of the Broadwalk, the beautiful Broadwalk and all of
That's what we're going for. And of course, it's going to be really fun to audition the girl with the rock and roll heart.
Auditions
line up over here, girls.
I see it as a tattoo, or something.
Ooh, okay. You can't say that on radio.
Blinking heart. Blinking heart on a, wiggling behind or something.
So you're hoping to release a full CD, no doubt, in early 2016 or something along those lines?
We're working on it now, right, Artie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's almost ready to be, you say a CD and an album, the world has changed.
The world has changed. Dramatically,
we call it that. Just us saying album.
You'll sell them song by song on iTunes or something.
Exactly, and to my website, and CD Baby will eventually have everything.
Me too.
Well.
I'll eventually put a website up. Within the next month or so, most of this will take place, and so I hope that will all be available by the end of the month.
Well, Dale, you've been holding court for 11 years at the Hard Rock Council Oak Lounge. Wow, that is a wonderful gig. Tell me about the band. Tell me about that experience. You shake those folks up from Wednesday through Saturday night.
Yeah, that's been a real blessing because gigs like that just do not exist anymore.
Yeah.
Usually there's one cat with a guitar, you know, or singing to tracks or a drum machine. Mm-hmm. This is nothing artificial added, no auto-tune, no click tracks. This is just four cats playing.
And you have great musicians with
great musicians. Some of South Florida's best. Matt Benelli on bass, who played with the Bee Gees for 12 years and teaches at Miami-Dade. I've got Tom Roberts. You got to have two bass players because they're in demand.
Well, they're busy.
That way they can go date other bands while they're not doing my... And then I've got, for the last year, I had a new drummer, Ramon Casals.
I love he's great. I know.
Ramon. The Cuban Bobby Darin, the Cuban Frank Sinatra, the Cuban. He does it all. And I've got Johnny O., who is another classic, the classic dog of love from Philadelphia. And John has got the voice that's just about as gravelly as mine. So you get more for your buck there, bang for the buck. And then I've got
your saxophonist,
the incredible jazzy juggernaut of the alto saxophone, Jesse Jones Jr.
Oh, he's superb. Jesse Jones Jr. is just superb.
You know, I'm on the gig and sometimes I forget that I'm working because I'm listening to Jesse and going, God, this guy's so great.
He takes it back to Cannonball Adderley and all the great altoists. It's just an amazing musician we have down here in South Florida. I bet when you arrived to South Florida years and years ago, you really thought, I'm in heaven.
Absolutely. I can remember going to O'Hara's. I was actually in recovery at the time, and I really wasn't going into bars. And then a group of recovering people, and I went to O'Hara's, and there was Jesse Jones. And I was like, oh, God, if I could play with this guy someday. And here he is. The other thing about the band, not only are they great musicians, but the chemistry is right. It's like it can't necessarily work. It's like saying you take a beautiful woman and a good-looking guy, and they're going to get along. Not necessarily so. You could take great musicians and put them in a band, and it's not necessarily going to work chemistry-wise. You've got to have great musicality and great chemistry, and I'm very fortunate to have that.
Well, bravo for the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood for having you guys in that wonderful Council Oak Lounge. Wednesday
and
Thursday.
We love the Seminoles.
Wednesday and Thursday, 7 till... And we love the Canes, too, but that's another thing. Wednesday and Thursday, 7 till 11. Friday and Saturday, 8 until 1. And you'll be able to go there and hear some of the tunes that Artie Resnick brings to the table as well. So we want to say thank you so much, Artie Resnick, for joining us, and Dale Powers. We can't wait for that new CD to come out. And good luck to you guys.
Thank you, Kat. And we love all you cats and kittens out there.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Coming up later on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken cooks up a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leschinski. Now, our film critic Dan Hudak welcomes Kareem Tabsh and Matt Walter to catch up on the latest from O Cinema.
Amid the burgeoning art house cinema scene in South Florida, no company has grown faster than O Cinema, which first opened its doors in Wynwood in 2011. It is the only art house chain that operates three theaters, mixing first-run independent, foreign, art, and family films with special showcases and alternative fare throughout the venues. It has also won the Miami New Times Readers' Poll for Best Art House for four consecutive years, due no doubt in part to having showcased theaters with different programming at its locations in Wynwood, Miami Shores, and Miami Beach. Today, the latest addition to the company, the Miami Beach location, opens writer-director Woody Allen's latest film, Irrational Man, which stars Joaquin Phoenix as a depressed and alcoholic philosophy professor who finds a new reason to live after spending time with a student played by Emma Stone and a colleague played by Parker Posey. I know what you're thinking, and trust me, it's not what you think. And because it's not what you think, it's 10 times better than you expect. Here's a listen to the trailer, which coyly doesn't reveal the film's great plot twist.
I hear Abe Lucas is going to be joining the faculty this summer.
Really? That should put some Viagra into the philosophy department.
Professor Lucas, welcome to Braylon.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you here.
Your paper was quite good.
Am I blushing right now? He's very radical, very original. You either love him or hate him, really. When I heard you were coming here, we had fantasies that we'd meet something special.
I haven't been able to perform in nearly a year. I can't write. I can't breathe. I couldn't remember the reason for living. And when I did, it wasn't convincing.
Word around is your philosophy professor's got a bit of an alcohol problem.
Oh, boy, that's just one of his problems.
I just hope you're not starting to care for him too much in the wrong way.
You suffer from despair.
How comforting that would be.
Are you aware of what's going on with you?
It was at this moment that my life came together.
There was no question there was something lighter about Abe.
Good morning.
Full of energy this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His spirit seemed up, he seemed more focused, and yet for some reason, it bothered me.
Hey, something wrong?
My thoughts were very mixed up and troubled.
The dizziness and anxiety had disappeared. I was happy and enjoying the joy of living.
What happened to the philosophy, Professor? Christ, you were like a caveman.
I heard that you had a theory about Abe.
You promise you won't tell?
You have my word.
Life's ironic, isn't it? One day a person has a morass of complicated, unsolvable problems.
What the hell are you doing, Abe?
And then in the batting of an eye, dark clouds part, she can enjoy a decent life again. It's just astounding. I'm Abe Lucas. I've had many experiences and now a unique one.
This was the meaningful act I was searching for.
I recently sat down with O Cinema co-founder Kareem Tapsch and the new associate director of the company, Matt Walter, to discuss Irrational Man and O Cinema's extensive offerings. Kareem, Matt, thank you for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat. You now have three locations. How are you differentiating the programming between the three? What movies go where?
Well, you know, we think about the cinemas really as neighborhood cinemas, and that's a big part of how we program them. The neighborhoods we're in are very different. We're in Miami Shores, which skews a little older, Wynwood, which is certainly much younger, and Miami Beach, which is kind of a mix, and we're still figuring it out. So, I we kind of program to our audiences for a great deal. I would say Miami Shores is like our adult contemporary station, and Wynwood is the alternative. And then Miami Beach is the global one. So that's kind of how that informs how our programming decisions are really made.
I did want to ask you guys about this because this was in the news. When you opened the Miami Beach Theater in the fall of last year, it was with a screening of Birdman. And then your amp blew up and you had to cancel the screening. That would have just made me furious.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of words we can't use in this interview because it's on public radio.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. But you know what? Everything that's worth it might start off a little rough. Matt interacted a lot with the audience that night. And
I got to say that the people who came out, that audience was so understanding and great about it. And nobody gave us a hard time. Everybody was like, you know, we're just really happy you guys are here, you know. And it was a pick us up because we were so down in the dumps, as you can imagine, that everybody coming up to us and saying, don't worry about it, guys. You know, it was reassuring.
I got a great note from Mayor Philip Levine of Miami Beach telling us a story of a small company whose initial voyage, the day one, got stuck out and in waters for 24 hours with a packed cruise. And that company went on to be called Carnival Cruise Line, and it's one of the most successful in the world. Right. And that really, I think, helped us realize that sometimes it gets off to a bumpy start, but now it all looks and sounds great, and we haven't had any issues, and people are loving the theater.
Right. And another thing you have had at the theaters, which I think is really cool, are retrospectives of well-known directors. So let me ask you the director, and then tell me the movie that was best received by your audience, if you can.
Sure.
you did a Stanley Kubrick retrospective. What was the kind of audience favorite or the most popular one there?
You know, the most popular one, and we've done Kubrick before because he's just one of our favorite filmmakers. But The Shining, by far and large, it just, there's something about that film that not only people who have seen it 100 times will come out and watch it on the big screen, but people who are bringing their friends who have never seen it before and kind of like saying, you know, making it like this is a have to see film, you know. And so The Shining by far is I think our most popular in terms of Kubrick.
Matt, did you also show Room 237 with the documentary about the conspiracy theories behind The Shining?
Back in 2013 was when we did our first week-long Kubrick retrospective, which was just way more intense, but really awesome, awesome week. And we did that leading up to Room 237. We had the filmmaker be able to do a Q&A with us afterwards, and it was very cool.
Yes, it's all flooding back to me now. I gave a talk after Clockwork Orange.
There you go, week. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
How about when you had Steven Spielberg, the retrospective for him? This was about a month ago, right?
Yep.
And what was the most popular film then?
I think Jaws, yeah.
It's 40th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were all the films were fairly well attended, but yeah, Jaws definitely brought the people that were, again, it's one of those films that people, if you see it a whole bunch of times, you want to see it on the big screen for the first time, and that was a really cool experience.
And when this airs on Friday, the Woody Allen retrospective will have finished, and Irrational Man will be opening. It's Joaquin Phoenix, Emma Stone, Parker Posey, great cast, and I think it's a heck of a good movie. I don't think the trailer does it justice, but I'm really excited for this film. I think it was really well done. You guys have any thoughts you want to share on it?
Woody Allen just kind of constantly surprises in what might be like his final, you know, final chapter of filmmaking. He's been doing it for such a long time. And I think it's just kind of oddly refreshing, as Woody Allen tends to be. And Joaquin Phoenix's performance in particular is really stunning.
I think Woody Allen has about 23 more films left in him.
Right.
We're talking with Kareem Tapsch and Matt Walter from O Cinema. Guys, you also have an ongoing series. Mark Furman is a friend of mine, so I want to bring this up, called Popcorn Nights. It's a retrospective screening of just usually a classic 80s movie. In late August, you're showing Rocky IV, which is kind of a great prelude to Creed when that opens later this year.
For sure.
Talk about Popcorn Nights, how successful it's been.
It's been incredibly successful. I mean, we love Mark. You know, he always brings it, and the crowd that comes out for these films, they're always so enthusiastic about the type of films that we show. And Rocky IV is, you know, I mean, it's Dolph Lundgren. It's one of the most iconic of the Rocky series, and I think that it's going to be an equal amount of excitement around it.
And a new movie called End of the Tour is coming out mid-August. You have your Dinner in a Movie series with End of the Tour. What are you doing for that?
We're going to be partnering up with Harry's Pizzeria, which is run by the James Beard Award winner, Chef Michael Schwartz. We do this now every month. It's extremely popular event. Tickets go super fast. The meals are, I mean, everybody, at least on our end of the team, is always vying to work that night because they know they're going to get a free meal out of it. So it's a very cool experience, and everybody seems to really enjoy it.
Tell me about music and movies with Sweat Records.
Yeah, we started this a little while ago and kind of got away from it, but now we're kind of diving right back into it. When this airs, we will have just on Wednesday have our screening of Pink Floyd the Wall, and we've got a couple more coming down the bend here that are really exciting, and you know, we hope to really grow that event into something similar to like Popcorn Nights, where we can be doing Q&As and different things like that.
So you also have the Performance on Screen series, where you're able to show performances from the Royal Opera, Royal Ballet, Shakespeare's Globe on the big screen. But getting back to Pink Floyd, The Wall, have you ever done that with The Wizard of Oz, shown it in conjunction, like they say, after the third bell, play it and it syncs perfectly?
We haven't. We haven't done the Pink Floyd Wizard of Oz combo. We talk about it often, and I think it's probably something we'll target for the beginning of 2016.
That should certainly be in your future. All right, Kareem, a note on the Performance on Screen series?
It's really thrilling, because what it does is it brings contemporary productions of classic works from the stage to cinemas across the world. And this is, you know, some of the biggest stars in the world of opera ballet. It's Natalia Osipova, Placido Domingo, and Shakespeare's Globe, which is current productions of Shakespeare's work from where he wrote them at the Globe. A lot of these series you can only see them at O Cinema Miami Beach in gorgeous high definition and beautiful surround sound. It's really something special.
That's awesome. And one more restoration to note. You're showing The Third Man, the Carol Reed, Orson Welles classic, 1949, one of Welles' best films, and he's the guy who made Citizen Kane. So that's fantastic, too. Guys, thank you for coming in. Never enough time. Best of luck.
Thank you so much.
O Cinema is now open in three locations. It's in the Wynwood Arts District, 90 Northwest 29th Street in Wynwood. It's at the Miami Theater Center in Miami Shores at 9806 Northeast 2nd Avenue. And it's at the old Byron Carlyle Theater, 500 71st Street in Miami Beach. For more information, go to o-cinema.org or call 305-571-9970. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at punchdrunkmovies.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do de do ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is gyoza dumplings. In the great American satirist's work, Player Piano, Kurt Vonnegut creates scenes in a post-apocalypse of some kind where the largely out-of-work populace plays a kind of guessing game. It has the contestants watching a jazzy orchestra playing a song on a television, but with the sound turned off. The object is to guess what song is being played. In our now food-obsessed television culture, I could easily imagine an update of Mr. Vonnegut's game, but a hairy group of chefs would be cooking a meal, and the contestants would need to guess the dish those TV chefs are making by watching the action with the sound off. This would be child's play if it were gyoza-style dumplings. The method, when watching, is quite clear. But have you made them yourself? There is a magic act at hand. Like so many tasks in ancient cultures that are passed down generation to generation, these seemingly simple dishes take great touch, and that only comes with time and the mastery of a craft. We ventured to a restaurant in the downtown area of Miami noted for making gyoza dumplings. It is named Momi Gyoza Bar. It is a simply designed place with communal tables surrounding an open kitchen. The clean but atavistic smell of savory food is welcoming, and so was the nearly elfin young lady serving us, whom we learned soon was from Mongolia and named Ija. They have other dishes on the menu, but we came to check out the namesake gyoza dumplings. We had the dumplings in two different textures. First, we had the steamed dumplings. Our choice were those filled with a mix of pork and shrimp. They were served with an array of dipping sauces. Then we advanced to the potsticker variety of dumplings, which are made by letting the dumplings actually stick to the surface of the cooking pan and thus earn their name before being released by a swift addition of a liquid that allows them to lift and finish cooking but retain their crisp, becoming pliant, wondrous textural arc. The Chinese are the creators of these dumplings, but they have also become a huge part of Japanese cuisine. The Chinese character for them literally means pan stick. In any language, note that there are three main types: steamed, pan-cooked, and deep-fried. The ones that get the most attention is a debate. Generally, the contest is between the steamed and the potsticker varieties. I will eat any and all when they are made with the care these versions were. The varied dipping sauces are another aspect of designing your experience there. Little Ija came back to see how we were doing, very happy. Then I asked her what dish she loves the most from her native land, Mongolia. She spoke excellent English and told us of the joys of Mongolian barbecue. She claimed that the meat is so much better in her home country. I asked her how she became proficient in English, and she told us that she went to college in St. Louis. My wife, Janet, has family that hails from there, and Janet asked Ija if she ever had the famed St. Louis barbecue. Little Ija's eyes danced, and she said, "Yes, very good." And Janet was even happier with Momi Gyoza Bar. Barbecue is a bond the world over, but that's another show. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Kalustian's Market. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And today we welcome back Jody Horn-Leschinski, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Jody, how's your summer doing?
Oh, my summer is crazy. I have not had a minute to do anything but Broward 100.
Bravo.
So let's jump right in here because tickets are now on sale for the show of the century.
Great.
The Passion and Rhythm of the People is a Broadway-style theatrical performance that will take place during the Duende weekend, which culminates our Broward 100 year-long centennial celebration. Buy your tickets now for the October 3rd performance at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. With a cast of more than 100 South Florida musicians, dancers, poets, choirs, and athletes, we will take you on a two-hour journey that features celebrity recording artists and stars of Broadway and television in an immersive multimedia and theatrical journey through the decades of Broward County's history and diversity that has created the community we call home. And Broadway director and Cirque Dreams creator Neil Goldberg has not only created this show, but also announced that on the night of the show, the audience will vote for their favorite local performer who will win a $10,000 cash prize sponsored by the Neil Goldberg Dream Foundation. So, exciting stuff.
Very.
So, Broward Cultural Division is working with the Florida International Trade and Cultural Expo that will take place in October, and we invite Broward-based media artists, writers, musicians, dancers, and visual artists to apply to a call to artists to participate in this event. Artists will need to apply on the Broward Cultural Division's website, which is broward.org/arts, and then they will be chosen through a competitive process. The call to artists application deadline is August 17th, so that's coming right up. Now, we have lots of sanctioned events going on, and we'll just jump right on in.
Mm-hmm.
The NSU Art Museum Fort Lauderdale presents Family Day, Jour de Famille, on Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. Explore the exhibition From Within and Without, the History of Haitian Photography, and participate in Haitian-inspired art workshops and move your feet to the Comba beat and learn the art of Haitian folklore and storytelling. The Ann Stork Center is participating in Broward 100 Celebrating the Art of Community with an educational art exhibit that provides an interesting review of the history of adaptive equipment used by artists with disabilities at the Ann Stork Center and is accompanied by the exhibit Creativity Beyond Boundaries, Innovation and Art, now through August 9th at the Broward Main Library. Tonight, from 8:15 to 11 p.m., enjoy Free Flicks presentation of the film Selma on the Great Lawn at the Pompano Beach Amphitheater. The free movie series features critically acclaimed films, all of which were nominated for the 2015 Academy Award for Best Picture. On August 2nd at 2 p.m. at Sunrise Civic Center Theater, the Symphony of the Americas presents its 24th Summerfest. The orchestra hosts the Arpeggion Chamber Orchestra of Austria in a return engagement under the baton of artistic director Maestro James Brooks Brzezi. Orchestral concerts feature the music of Vivaldi, Strauss, and Mozart's Ein Klein Nightmusik. The Arts Park Experience Bahia takes place on Saturday from 7 to 11 p.m. at the Arts Park at Young Circle, featuring Orchestra Rumpelaz, a bracing 20-piece big band from Bahia, Brazil. The band combines the percussive power of sacred Afro-Brazilian drumming with the jolt of a jazz orchestra. The event is lawn seating, so bring a blanket or a beach chair. Now through September 6th, on Wednesdays and weekends in Theater 1, the Broward Stage Door Theater presents Harvey, the story of Elward P. Dowd, an affable man who claims to have an unseen and presumably imaginary friend, Harvey, who Elwood describes as a six-foot-tall rabbit. This weekend, experience two superhero movies at the Museum of Discovery and Science AutoNation IMAX Theater. First is the Mission Impossible Rogue Nation starring Tom Cruise, who reprises his role of IMF agent Ethan Hunt. And second is Marvel's Ant-Man, where master thief Scott Lang is armed with the astonishing ability to shrink in scale but increase in strength and embraces his inner hero. You know, Ed, in the state of Florida, there are so many specialty license plates to choose from. And when you purchase a specialty license plate, you're not only showing your support, you are also making a financial contribution to your favorite cause. The state-of-the-arts license plate was first introduced in 1995, and the Broward Cultural Division has not only been number one in sale for the plate for the entire state, but has also received more than $1.3 million. These funds are earmarked for the arts programs. Are you driving for the arts? If you purchase a state-of-the-arts license plate in Broward County, $20 is returned back to Broward Cultural Division, and your $20 is tax-deductible. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, Broward County's complete guide to the arts. Never miss a thing. Get there.
And we thank the always informative Jody Horn-Leschinski, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Great weekend to you, Jody.
Thank you. To you and your listeners, too.
Classical music returns to South Florida listeners starting Monday, August 10th today. Here, did I hear some cheering? It's called Classical 24, and you'll find it on WLRN's HD2 channel 24/7. Listen on your HD-capable radio, your smartphone, or your computer. Classical 24 on WLRN HD2 starting August 10th. Let me also mention Saturday, August 8th, at Harrison's Coffee Bean Bar in downtown Hollywood, there'll be a big art event featuring 10 local artists exhibiting in multiple mediums, showcasing their works. There'll be live music in the garden area too, and the event is hosted by art impresario Kent Wallace. The show runs from 7 till 11 at Harrison's Coffee Bean Bar. That is Saturday, August the 8th. And that's located at 1916 Harrison Street in Hollywood. Call 954-922-0074 for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner, our technical director. We'd like to thank our contributors as well, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn-Leschinski. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set, as always, to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.